Good morning. Good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you this morning. We are humbled and blessed to be your agents, your ambassadors, to bring you the good news today of God's word spoken and spoken by through song as the Valley Mill Chorus. It's a delight for us to be here. And we've come for one purpose. You have not come to hear a performance. We have all come to worship our great sovereign God, who through Jesus Christ has called us to be his sons and his daughters. Isaiah the prophet says, "In that day I will say, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion." May that be our experience today as we come to this place to worship our God, as he calls us to recalibrate our lives to serve him. Will you arise to receive God's greeting? Brothers and sisters in Christ our Lord, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, through the pouring out of his Holy Spirit. Amen. We want to welcome each of you here. If you're a guest worshiping here today at Crossroads, we pray that you already have been greeted warmly, that you'll feel a place to serve the Lord as we worship here together. Take a moment now to greet each other and welcome one another to this place as we come to serve the Lord.
to each other for the unity of faith, that we grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. In the fullness of Christ. One faith, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one church for which He died, one voice, one song, lifted in praise to Him who was and is and shall be.
When we bow before that one faith, one hope, one Lord, one God, we realize that in His majesty and His holiness and His perfection, we find ourselves before Him. And it's important and necessary for us to acknowledge our frailty and our sin. And so let us hear again this morning a call to confession. Brothers and sisters in Christ, each time we gather together on the first day of the week, and especially at Easter, we celebrate our redemption through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lent is a time to prepare for that Easter celebration and to practice with discipline, daily repentance, which is our daily dying and rising in union with Christ. During these days of Lent, we are called to acknowledge anew our need for repentance, and for His mercy and for His forgiveness, proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together in unison a prayer of confession. Lord, we have denied You by refusing to know You. We have betrayed You by keeping our distance. We have mocked You by pretending we are not Yours. Lord, we are lost. We need Your forgiveness. Welcome us into Your strong, forgiving arms, and let us be reconciled again. Amen. Isaiah the prophet, many years before the coming of Jesus Christ, prophesied, and the one who came fulfilled the prophecy. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. That's you and me. He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And here's the wonderful good news. The punishment that brought you and me peace, was upon Him. And by His wounds, you and I are healed. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Boys and girls, you may leave now for children and worship. And as they do so, we can turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Here's the flag. Follow the flag. Thank you. This is God's word to us this morning, Matthew chapter 26, beginning to read at verse 31. Then Jesus told them, that is the disciples, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. And then turning to the last part of this chapter, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out of the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with a loud oath. "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ our Lord, there are times when we feel really strong physically. We can take on the world. And there are times when spiritually we feel really strong as well. Maybe you've gone on a retreat, or maybe in your personal devotions there was a moment in which God spoke to you so profoundly, or a message that was preached, or a song that was sung. Or like we're on tour now, there's those moments when these songs captivate our hearts. It must have been that feeling of strength that the disciples had. Their friend Lazarus had died, and he was in the tomb for 4 days. And then Jesus raised him from the dead. That's a real crowd bringer. When does that ever happen? And then right after that, they came into Jerusalem, and there was that parade, and the people responded with such joy. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest." And then there was that intimate time up in the upper room. There should have been a servant girl there, but, you know, there wasn't. So Jesus took on that responsibility and washed all their feet. How nice of him. And then they had the Passover together. And he spoke some words that really didn't make a lot of sense to them at the time. But, you know, to be with the Lord, it was wonderful. And then, after that, Jesus was teaching them through all of this how they were to be his disciples. And Jesus is calling us, too, in this time of Lent, to reflect anew upon our devotion to him, but more importantly, his devotion to us. And to really understand that, we need to understand, first of all, that to be a disciple of Jesus Christ means that we have to know our own frailty. We have to know our own frailty. That's so difficult. By nature, we want to be strong. We want to be in control. We want to be, in a sense, independent. And to be dependent, none of us want that, really. The disciples had to be reminded of that. Jesus had to tell them that he was going to go away, and there was going to be something that was happening which was a real shock to all of them, but especially to Peter. "This very night you will fall away on account of me." I mean, that just didn't fit with what they were just experiencing together as they had experienced Lazarus' resurrection, the going into Jerusalem, the time together in the upper room. But not only Peter, but all the disciples said, No, that won't happen to us. That won't happen to us. Jesus now predicts a complete collapse of what they had hoped for as disciples. All of you, he said, all of you will fall away. In fact, this very night you will fall away. The Greek word there for fall away is the word that where we get our word scandal or scandalize. You are going to experience a situation, Jesus says, in which you'll be dishonoring me. You'll be ashamed of me. It's like the trap. It's the pan on the trap that causes the trap to snap. And oftentimes, we too, when we're strong, we think we're in control. We have those times when situations come our way which become like that pan on the trap in which we too were scandalized. We disown the Lord. We're ashamed to really acknowledge who he is and what he's done for us in our lives. But Peter is confident. And as we look at Peter this morning, we mustn't just see what he said and did, but we must see ourselves in Peter. How could Peter deny Jesus three times? Not once, not twice, but three times. The same way you and I oftentimes deny our Lord. When we don't really live up to the fact that we are his followers, his disciples. Peter says, even if they all fall away on account of you, I never will. He is so confident. I mean, the others, you know, you can't really depend on them, but you can trust me, Jesus. I'm going to be there. In fact, he goes on to say, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And then we read, all the other disciples said the same thing. When we have an attitude like Peter, and we often do, how do we respond? Well, we fail because of three different reasons. The first reason being we judge others. When we see someone else, we have the ability to quickly size them up, and most often we put them below ourselves. The way they talk, the way they dress, maybe the way they smell. We see them and we put them lower than ourselves. The other side, the flip side of that, is we are confident in ourselves. After all, look at us. We come, for the most part, from a good family. We're part of a church. We've been baptized. We profess our faith. We worship on Sunday. I mean, you really can't beat any of that. And so we're confident in ourselves. And then, well, we believe the Word of God. We'd all say that in this context, of course. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. But oftentimes, the Word of God is partial. That is, it doesn't actually, there's parts of that really don't apply to me. It applies to them, but not to me, at least at this time. We justify that. And that's exactly what Peter does. Peter contradicts the very word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes we contradict the very word that God has given to us. Ouch, that steps on toes, doesn't it? I know 10 toes that really steps on. A person here, and that person is right behind this podium this morning. I know about you, but to acknowledge our own frailty is something that just doesn't come natural. But to be a disciple of Jesus Christ means we have to profess our faith. We have to profess who we are and what we believe. And Peter does that this morning in our text. He professes a very confident faith, a faith that is found in himself. A faith that depends upon his own strength, his own will, his own desire. What's the basis of your faith? We have to ask ourselves that this morning. What's the basis of my faith? Is it? We mustn't really answer that question too quickly because, again, in this context, we all immediately know what the right answer to that question is. We know up here what that answer is, but how about here? In our heart, and how about in the life that we live in this coming week? What is that answer? Well, again, so often we see ourselves as really pretty good people. I mean, again, for the most part, we have known Jesus for a long time. Maybe some of us are newly converted. But for the most part, we've known Jesus for a long time. We have gone to Sunday school and catechism, and maybe we're part of a Bible group, a study group. And we have a pretty good family. I mean, there's other families out there, you know, they have some problems. But, you know, for the most part, our family is really pretty good. And we're part of a church, and we worship on Sunday, and when the collection bags come by, we put our offering in there. I mean, God is really happy with us because we're really good people. And as a result, we're headed straight for hell. Are you saying that people who go to church may go to hell? No. No, I'm not saying that, but God's word says that. Sometimes we think that just the knowledge we have will be enough, and there are many people in the church who, because they're in church and because they sit in a pew, they're on the way to heaven, no questions asked. I mean, that's like standing in a garage and thinking you're a car. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you're on the way to heaven. In fact, God's word, which speaks so very honestly in 2 Thessalonians, says, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire and with powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God. Ah, but we know God. So many people say that, oh, we know God. Everybody seems to know God. But knowledge doesn't save us. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we profess our faith, it has to be more than up here, but it has to be that we are fully committed as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, that in all that we do, He's number one. He's on the throne of our heart. And for Peter, Jesus was not on the throne of his heart because he didn't need Jesus on the throne of his heart. He had strength and confidence in himself that he was going to take care of whatever may be in the future. Then as a result, we know what happened. Again, it goes on to say in verse 9, they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Hell's a very real place, and for us who don't really believe with all our heart, and it's just some knowledge up here, and for loved ones and for people we work with who aren't committed to Jesus Christ as disciples of Jesus Christ, they are on the way to perdition. And there's something very urgent about our profession as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ. We don't hear much about hell today, but we must understand it's a very real place. And we must know. The older form for baptism says this: baptism teaches that we are all under the judgment of God, and for that reason cannot be members of his kingdom. And if you stop right there, we're all hell-bound. That's what it says, basically, right? But it doesn't have a period there. It has a comma there and says, unless we're born again. And that makes all the difference in the world. That God speaks to us and he opens our hearts, and we respond with gratitude and acceptance for what he's done for us. It goes on to say, therefore, we ought to be displeased with ourselves, humble ourselves, and turn to God for our salvation. What's the basis of your faith? In this time of Lent, we have to reflect on that and ask ourselves that. How could Jesus know what was going to happen? Well, Jesus had two things that were so dear to him, namely an intimate relationship with his Heavenly Father, which every one of us need day in and day out. And he knew the scriptures. He knew what the scriptures said. He knew that the prophet Zechariah, many centuries before, had said, kill the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And now Jesus is saying to his disciples, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Jesus knew his scriptures. And you and I, we need, as much as we need nourishment for our bodies and fluid, water for our existence. We need the Word of God each and every day. And in all our busyness, so often that gets pushed aside. We don't really need that. I mean, it's applicable to other people, but, you know, it's not all that necessary for you and for me. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The sheep hear my voice, he says, and they follow me. Do you know the voice of your shepherd? And does your shepherd speak to you? And is your shepherd going ahead of you? Or are you just on the path or in the wilderness on your own? Our frailty, the profession we need to make. But there's something else in our text this morning. We have to understand that Jesus was preparing to go to Gethsemane. And when we reflect on what Jesus went through for your sins and mine, the horrific suffering, the flogging, the beating, Isaiah the prophet, prophecy was fulfilled again when he said, there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. We can't imagine. And he did that for you. He did that for me personally. Jesus Christ did that so that we could know that he came into the world for sinners like you and me. So therefore, being a disciple of Jesus Christ means that we celebrate God's forgiveness. We celebrate God's incredible forgiveness. Peter wept bitterly. Peter realized that when he denied his Lord and when the rooster crowed and when Jesus looked at him, his heart broke. So different from Judas, Judas realized he had messed up too. He threw the 30 pieces of silver down and said, I've betrayed innocent blood. But he didn't repent. He didn't go to Jesus. He didn't find forgiveness. But Peter wept bitterly. Jesus knew Peter's frailty in spite of the fact that he was so confident. Jesus said, but after I have risen, Jesus anticipates the resurrection even before he went to Golgotha. He knew the Father would raise him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. But after I have risen, I'm going to go ahead of you into Galilee. And that means, Peter, there will be forgiveness. You will see a day when there's forgiveness, and we are assembled here. No matter how bad, no matter what's happened in our life, no matter how we have failed our Lord, there is forgiveness and renewal in Jesus Christ. I met a young man, Vanna was his name, an Asian American young man. He was part of the gang. And one day he and a bunch of others got in a car and they went to the rival gang on the other side of Fresno, California, and he was given the revolver, and so he shot as often as he could into that gang dwelling and killed the guy. And that was good because then you become a member of the gang. That's your initiation. You're going to need to kill somebody. And he did. That was the good news. The bad news, he got caught by the police and was brought to juvenile hall and was there only a short time because then he turned from 17 to 18 and became an adult. And while he was in prison waiting for his sentence, he was reading a book about people who accepted Christ. He would have nothing to do with any of that, but he was totally bored. And then he came across a verse that said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Vanna was a Buddhist. His parents were Buddhists. And to be a Buddhist, you did good and you be good. Do good and be good. So many people are in the church today thinking that doing good and being good is enough. But as a Buddhist, there is no forgiveness. And then he learned the incredible thing he read in Psalm 103. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And Vanna said, the heavens opened, and a burden was lifted off my back. And I was in prison, but I was the freest man you have ever seen. The first word that Jesus spoke on the cross was a word of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And when Jesus says, I'm going to go ahead of you, he's saying, Peter, I'm not finished with you yet. There's more to come. And Jesus says that to you and me this morning. I'm not finished with you yet. There are times when we think we're strong, but we're really so very weak, and how dependent we are upon the Lord. But he says, I'm not finished with you yet. I'm going to go ahead of you. Even though you want to go off on yourself, I'll be there ahead of you to show you the way. So look to me and depend upon me. And where can you find a God like that? Micah the prophet put it so well when he says, where is another God like you who pardons the sins of his people? You cannot stay angry with your people forever. You can't stay angry with me or you forever. Because you delight to show mercy. Once again, you have compassion on us. Think of that. You have compassion on us. And how compassionate Christ has to be for you and for me. You will trample our sins underfoot and throw them into the very depths of the ocean. God calls you and me to once again be his disciples, his followers, to acknowledge our own frailty, knowing that we are so weak, so dependent, but sharing what we believe, that it's not us, but it's him, and then sharing what we believe with anybody and everybody we come into contact with, that they will know to be a fully committed disciple of Jesus Christ is to look away from ourselves and look to him. May we do that in this coming week. So let it be, and God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Father, how awesome and how great is the joy we have because of what you have done for us. We come today, Lord, as your children, broken, so need of your forgiving grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray that you will touch every person here. And Lord, if there's anyone who have not fully given themselves over to you, that you will break their heart. You will give them experiences in which they cannot exist any longer apart from you, but find their salvation, their redemption, their strength in you. Lord, we pray today for the Van Coten family as they sorrow in the death of a grandfather. We pray for the Rootman family, Lord, with a father who's aging and who has many health issues. Will you meet those needs? We pray, Lord, that you will give healing to Sheila in the accident she's experienced. We pray, Father, that you will touch the lives of those who are struggling with cancer, who have had or need surgery, or those who are experiencing chemotherapy or radiation. Father, we rejoice with Zach and Nicole and Gavin in the birth of Alexander. What a joy to have a new member enter their family. We pray, Lord, for Nathaniel and Emily, that things look better for their unborn child. We pray, Lord, for Diane, her daughter, and her unborn child. May that continue to go well. Father, we pray for this congregation, for Crossroads. Would you meet their needs? We pray for the elders and the deacons. We pray for everyone who needs to step up a little bit because of the vacancy. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless the search team as they continue their work, that you would bring the pastor of your choice to this congregation, that you would provide for them and give them what they need. We pray for, Lord, that you'll bring forth a worship coordinator that they're looking for. Lord, we're thankful for all the blessings that you give. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless the Honduras mission trip, that's the team that's coming back today. Would you bless them and provide for them? Thank you for all the good gifts and for the blessings that you lavish on us day by day. And may we serve you with great joy and thanksgiving because you are our God and you've called us to be your sons and your daughters. You've called us to be disciples of Jesus Christ, to walk in your way and do your will. We pray this in the precious and glorious name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior and Lord. Amen. Marlo Van Ginkel is going to share with us about Hope Haven and our offering.
On behalf of Hope Haven, the Valley Mill Chorus, we're just very, very delighted to be here this morning at Crossroads on this beautiful Sunday morning. Special thanks to Todd Gulner and to Brad McCoulton and the rest of the council for allowing us to come and worship with you this morning. Thanks for that invite, and to your secretary, Winnie, who was very helpful in getting us and initiating this process for us as well. So we're very happy to be here. We were here over 12 years ago. I think it was back in 2003 that we were last year at Crossroads, and I think Pastor Al was here at that time. Pastor Al left Crossroads and came to Trinity, where 14 of us worship, and Al will shepherd us for about 8 years. So I told him that we were coming here, and he gives greetings. I know he's been here a number of times, but he gives greetings once again. If you look in the back of the program, if you have our program with you, I'm not going to say much about the Ministry of Hope Haven because it's there in front of you, but these men have been singing for Hope Haven since 1979. And Hope Haven is an agency that is controlled and managed and overseen by the Christian Reformed Church as one of five Reformed denominations that manages Hope Haven. And in fact, Hope Haven is on the approved cause list for the Christian Reformed Church in North America as well. But these men go out and represent Hope Haven, and every time they go out and sing, they ask for a free will offering that goes directly into that mission fund of Hope Haven. We serve approximately 1,900 children and adults with disabilities in just a variety of ways and programs and services in over 27 communities in the tri-state area of South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa as well. And God has been very, very faithful and has blessed the Ministry of Hope Haven for 50 years. We started in 1964, and God has utilized the church to show his faithfulness and his bountiful blessings to that ministry. And 20 years ago, God said, not only do you need to serve my people locally, but you need to serve my people globally as well. So in 1994, Hope Haven started to reach out to serve the poorest of the poor with disabilities in 107 countries around the world. So today, as we take that offering, you too will be helping us minister not only to folks with disabilities locally, but globally, as we reach out and provide mobility, hope, and opportunities to those who cannot afford a wheelchair or not afford the opportunities to be able to participate in school programming or being able to work within the various areas of their villages and towns and cities in other parts of the world as well. So we provide free wheelchairs. Over 115,000 wheelchairs have been given free to children and adults who have nothing. And then they have that chance, that hope, and that opportunity. Thanks so much for allowing us to be with you this morning and for allowing us and for giving us the opportunity to reach out and serve others by mentioning what Hope Haven is all about and for you to helping us with that free will offering. While that free offering is being taken, we're going to be singing By Faith. And By Faith, if you see in the back of the program, has been our theme for our 50th anniversary this year, and it's taken from 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5 or 7, I believe, and it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Once again, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
eternal, ringing on the farther shore. As I near those swollen waters with their deep and solemn roar. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Swiftly o'er those waters to the city far away.
Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the great I am.
Will those who have announcements please come forward so that we can make those announcements for...
Well, just wanted to let you know that there are several opportunities coming up in April for us to serve the Lord. The first one is going to be on April 22nd, which is our, every 4 months we are feeding the homeless down at the homeless shelter. That comes up on Wednesday the 22nd. I visited with our church, Heartland Presbyterian, this morning about the amount of food that we're going to need, and because we had a fair amount left over from the last session, we are not going to need quite so much. So I'll have an abbreviated list out on the Welcome Center next Sunday and a sign-up sheet for those who would like to participate in serving our fellow man. Then on the 25th, 3 days later, we are going to be hosting again the Christian Motorcycle Association. They will be here Friday night and Saturday, and again, we're going to feed this great group of individuals, and there will be a donation list on that. It will mainly be some salads and a lot of dessert items that day. So a couple of opportunities for everyone, if their heart is in sync with that, to serve the Lord and serve your fellow man those 2 days. Thank you.
A couple weeks from today is Easter Sunday, and in the past, Fellowship Committee has had a breakfast, potluck breakfast here, and Connections team talked, and we plan to do that again. So that will be 2 weeks from today, Sunday, 8:30 in the morning. Bring a dish to share. It can be pastries, fruit, casserole, whatever you'd like. We'll have drinks provided, and if anyone has time and wants to help set up tables, contact me, and there'll be more information in the midweek announcements and next week's bulletin.
On behalf of the Mission Advocate Committee, I'd like to welcome Brandon and Ashley Wilson. Would you stand up, please? Brandon and Ashley are on staff for the Navigators at the University of Nebraska in Kearney, and we as a church are part of their sponsorship. Brandon has been a member of our church since birth, and we are excited to have him go out and minister. There will be an opportunity to visit with him and Ashley in the fireside room right after the service. And I would just ask that those members, if you would please try to take time to be a part of that, encourage them by attending this, just to hear what they are doing, what is happening, because we are sending them to a university. And as they spread the gospel to the students there in Nebraska. So it's probably a half hour of your time to just encourage them. And if you can't be there, please remember them in your prayers, as they are God's servants.
Also a reminder, if you've been thinking about it or if you haven't thought about it yet and want to sign up today for the seminar next Sunday afternoon about ministering to or being a companion to those experiencing grief and loss, see the Welcome Center for that. Also, to remember prayer, Roger Voss, he is in the hospital this weekend for a perforated diverticulitis, needing antibiotics by intravenous. Likely he'll be home tomorrow, so things are progressing well for him, so just remember him. And finally, a sad note, but things change in people's lives and people move on, and we want to say a farewell to Nathan Neuendorp. And just so everybody know, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, but just in case, a brief stand, Nathan. Thanks, Nathan. Nathan's going back to going to Orange City, Iowa. He received a job offer there and is taking that job. He's from that area. But we've had opportunity to get to know Nathan here, just being a part of our congregation. But also he has blessed us in ministering God's word to us over the past year and a half. About that time. So, Nathan, I have to say, you know, God has blessed you with a knowledge and a gift to bring God's word, and we've been blessed by that, and we thank you for using that among us. And so we wish you God's richest blessing as you make this move again, and we trust that your time here, as well as your work setting, has all been a positive and powerful experience for you in your life. So thank you.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ our Lord, may the sovereign God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go ahead of you to show you the way, go behind you to protect you, go beside you to encourage you, and to be above you to give you his peace, that you may love God above all and your neighbor as yourself. Amen.